Christian Lane's foray into the world of entrepreneurship began with a folder for large documents, which he called Foldio. Well, he's since gone on to make your kitchen a more connected place with his company Smarter, which introduced the world's first Wi-Fi connected kettle, and now a new product called FridgeCam. But how do you make the jump from paper to the Internet of Things? This is Eureka, a Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Each week we bring you one entrepreneur's story, the early inspirations, the struggles, and the path to success. This week, Christian tells his story.
I was a bit of a weird kid. I didn't really fit in. I'd kind of socialize with all of the different groups in school. I didn't have a group, and I wasn't really ever content with what I wanted to do. I think it was a time like when people just finished their GCSEs and they were looking to do their A-levels. Everyone was talking about, oh, what is it that you want to do? And I didn't have any focus on that. I wasn't sure, and it didn't feel right at the time, because I looked at my dad, and he was an architect, and he was a very driven person, but he was doing this 9-to-5 job, and even though he was quite senior in his role, I could see that he wasn't enjoying it. So I couldn't confidently say, yeah, I want to be an architect, or I want to be a pilot, all these things that people wanted to be. So I struggled with that for a good few years, and it just didn't really sit well with me. And I went on to study business and graphic design. Those were the two things that I was interested in. And I guess coming from a non-entrepreneurial background, it was in my nature to be risk averse, so I didn't want to set anything up too early. But then I just kind of got this urge for it, and on the back of a graphic design course, I set up a company for a product that I started called Foldio. So I was studying graphic design, and I was carrying around big AO, A1 portfolios, and I was dragging them to school, and I remember we all used to get detention if we would forget to bring these portfolios. So like half my classmates would be left behind because they didn't bring their folders in, and it was worth it because the route in getting them to school was such a challenge. I mean, these were embarrassingly big, and people would just like dump them places, they didn't want to take them, or they'd screw up their work and put it in their bag. So they got into trouble either way. And then I started bringing mine in a homemade folder that curved the paper without creasing it. And it was like a third of the size. And then people were like, oh, where do you buy those? And I just said, oh, I made it. I kind of made it in my bedroom and then made a few for the classmates and then realized that more people wanted these. And it became an idea. And I sent it to a company called W.H. Smith's and just asked for their opinion and said, you know, what do you think of this product? They came back and said, we think it's great. We'll probably order in the region of 20,000 pieces. I kind of sent that product to China and said, is there anyone, like I think I went on Alibaba or something like that, and said, is there anyone that can make this for me? I got some quotes in, managed to work out some margins from my old maths course, and it kind of just, it went from there. I gave them the price and they said, yeah, we'll buy it. And the next challenge was funding it. So I was still 17 at the time. I did a few things on the side, and then we set up Foldio and took it on Dragon's Den just to get some funding. And it was just like, it was just a dream. It happened so quickly. And then did a 3-hour pitch on the show. People don't realize that it's that long because they cut it down to about 5 or 10 minutes. But they stop for like restroom breaks, and then they ask you really detailed questions and stuff like that. So it was a 3-hour pitch, got the investment, and then that was kind of like my first real interaction with real people and investors. And at the time it was just me, and I was working in Theo's office, so he was pretty hands-on, and we were kind of building the company together. So it was a good few years of learning how to run a company, making mistakes, being very young and very naive. It was like my university of business. There was a time where it was successful and it was going really well, and I think technology took over. If it was 10 years ago, prior to me inventing it, it would have been a big success, but people were using iPads. And I think the progression from seeing the iPad take over my previous business made me think, actually, everything's going to be triggered by mobile phones. Mobile payments were becoming more and more popular, and we wanted to get into something that generated like reoccurring revenues and that could actually be triggered from an app. So it was either going into a pure software play, like an application business, or doing something with hardware. And at the time, hardware was all I knew. So it was kind of obvious to start with another hardware product, but that could lead me into more Internet of Things type applications. There was always this ongoing argument in the house of who's going to pop the kettle on, and I think every household has that debate. You know, we're all sitting on the sofa or you're in bed and you're saying, you know, it's your turn to make a cup of tea. And it originally came from the Teas Made idea, where that was a big, you know, hit in the 50s and 60s, and then it kind of phased out. And we thought IoT actually allows us to regenerate that kind of idea. So at the time, I think it was seen as potentially a bit of a gimmick, so you can just remote boil your kettle. But then we looked at examples like the television. I think when the remote control was first invented for the TV, there was outrage and people were like, why do I need a remote control when I'm 2 meters away from the television? I think now if you get a TV without a remote, then you complain that there's no remote in the box. So I think it was just a case of changing the mindset of people. And we didn't know what reaction it was going to have. Essentially, you would save 5 or 6 minutes every time you wanted to boil the kettle. You can do it from your bed, or you can integrate it with different IoT devices. So it would pre-boil when you come home from work. If you pull up on the driveway with your Tesla, it'll start boiling for you. So nowadays, the application has a lot more use, but at the time, we thought this is something that's never been done before, and we wanted to be the world's first. We launched it on a website called Firebox, which is like a gadget website. I think their target audience is for kind of mainly men. So we thought it was a good place to start because it was a premium price point product and it was more of a gift purchase. So we retailed it at £99. But we started off by sending them a sample, which we spent about £100 building. So on the back of the Foldio venture, I didn't come away with that much money. So we had to do everything on a budget, and it was kind of like starting from scratch. So at the time I was, I think, 26, and it was like a big knock to say we have to put that behind us and start again. So it was just myself, and they were like, great, we'll put it on the website, we'll see how it goes. So we were like, yeah, this is our first break into something new. At the time, I think the first order was quite small. It was like 100 units to test to see if the product would work, and we then put it into production in China, which came with a whole load of issues, but they weren't revealed until a lot later on. But they put it on the website as a pre-order just to get things going. And it kind of went nuts overnight. So within 2 hours, it became a best-selling product. In the first couple of hours, it was thousands of units. In the first year alone, we did close to £2 million worth of kettles. The fridge cam came about just because it was a natural progression for us. So we started with small kitchen appliances. I think the idea was always to connect the kitchen, not just to connect kettles. So it was our route to market. It allowed us to build a manufacturing network and build a retail base. So at this point we had 100,000 customers using our kettles and coffee machines every single day. But that wasn't the end goal for us. So we always started this company to connect the entire kitchen and to be a solution or a platform. And instead of us manufacturing big old-fashioned fridges, we thought there's actually a better use case for having a fridge camera that allows you to retrofit and convert an existing fridge into a smart fridge. So I guess that was our most recent eureka moment, where we thought, actually, there's something really big here. We'd like to see it as a necessity because we can prove now that it reduced waste. We're prototyping things all the time, and it's easy to say, well, let's connect, you know, this thing in the living room and let's connect this thing in the bedroom just because it works. But we're good at saying we draw the line at the kitchen for now so that we can stay focused, and we partner with those people that do other things better than us. So a doorbell company, for example, or a light bulb company, it's much better that we're fully integrated. So we've got like an open API policy where we want to make sure that our products integrate with cars and anything that's connected, essentially.
Christian Lane there from Smarter, founder of the iKettle, the Smarter coffee machine, and Fridge Cam. Eureka will be back next Friday. And of course, before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday at 1900 London time. This episode was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.